Ready on the sound. Very good. Thank you and welcome here this evening. We'll call our City Council meeting to order and begin with the Pledge of Allegiance by Mayor Pro Tem Moreno.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Let's go ahead with a roll call.
Councilmember Fonzi?
Here.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Here.
Mayor O'Malley?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Next item is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzi. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzi?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly? Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And we also have our city treasurer here this evening, Mr. Seebach. Thank you for being here. We have two presentations, always kind of nice, recognizing things going on in our community. The first one will be a proclamation recognizing February 24th as Spay Day USA. Our second proclamation will be regarding the Lighthouse program, and I'm going to ask Heather to do the Lighthouse introduction. We have someone here to turn that over to pretty soon. We'll begin with Councilwoman Fonzi introducing the proclamation for Spay Day.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's my honor to do this. I am a proud owner of four animals, all rescue, two cats, two dogs. In fact, one we just got in January is in the front yard digging it up right now. Whereas pets provide companionship to 68% of U.S. households, and whereas nearly 3 million healthy and adoptable cats and dogs are put down in animal shelters each year due to a lack of critical resources and public awareness, and whereas nearly 90% of pets living in poverty and 98% of community are feral and stray cats are unaltered, and whereas spaying and neutering has been shown to dramatically reduce the number of animals who are put down in animal shelters, and whereas programs exist to assist with the cost of spaying or neutering pets living in poverty and community cats, and whereas veterinarians, national and local animal protection organizations, and private citizens worked together to ensure the spaying or neutering of more than 68,000 pets and community cats through World Spay Day in the United States and throughout the world in 2015, and whereas veterinarians, national and local animal protection organizations, and private citizens have joined together again to advocate the spaying or neutering of pets and community cats on World Spay 2015, now therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Atascadero that February 24th, 2015 is designated World Spay Day. We hereby call upon the people of the City of Atascadero to observe the day by having their own pets spayed or neutered, or by sponsoring the spaying or neutering of a pet in need. Thank you.
Thank you. And do we have anyone here to receive this evening?
Yes.
We'd ask you to come forward, share a few words, and we'll get right at that mic.
I just want to thank you so much for this honor. In behalf of the North County Humane Society, the board of directors and all the staff, and 158 kittens and cats that we have at the shelter right now, we want to thank you for growing the interest of how important it is to do spay and neutering. I don't know how many of you saw the news the other night, but we had a very successful spay and neuter that we ran on Sunday. We were able to do 168 cats, and over 100 of them, all the females, were pregnant. And so it has been found out if you have one unneutered male and one unspayed female, in 7 years, their offsprings can produce over 420,000 cats. So there's a lot going on in the hills here, so it's really important to draw attention to how important it is to get spay and neutering. And it takes a village to do all of this. And just like you were saying, it takes everybody. And we want to thank all these agencies that have worked so hard. We want to thank the Feline Network. We want to thank the Department of Animal Services. We want to thank HART in Cambria. We want to go ahead and thank, of course, the Department of Animal Services and Woods Humane Society and the North County Humane Society, and especially Paws Cause, who put the last spay-neuter event together this last Sunday. And it was very successful, but it takes everybody. And we want everybody to know that there is help available. We offer $25 discount vouchers at the North County Humane Society for all North County residents. And all you need to do is call, and there's help available, because it is so important to go ahead and get spays and neuters done, and that's for dogs and cats as well. So again, on behalf of everybody who's working so hard, I want to thank them, and I want to thank all of you for helping that program going by donating money from the city. And I know how hard it is to get money for us, but because of that, we are able to help all Atascadero residents. And thank you again. This is a real honor for us. Thank you.
Well, thank you. If you join us up front, we'll present you with the proclamation. We'll just join you up front since you're here, and Mr. Atascadero News is here. Thank you. Next, we are very pleased to welcome Lighthouse this evening, and I'm going to ask Mayor Pro Tem Moreno to do the introductions because she's been actively working with them.
Thank you. I'm excited that you're here this evening. Lighthouse is a research-based program at Del Rio High School that deals with the intervention, prevention, and awareness. So I probably got that backwards. Awareness, prevention, intervention of drug use. And they're having a lot of success, and we have a lot of excited people that are working on the committee, and I'm really happy and honored to be a part of it. We have some students with us here tonight, and it's always fun to see them out working, whether it's selling coffee or the various activities. So glad to have you here. We have Janet Stecker, who I think is going to make the presentation. And we also have Don Clickard and our principal, Chris Balow, this evening. Oh, do I have something?
Chris will be making the presentation.
Oh, Chris is making the presentation. All right. Thank you.
Good evening. Thanks for having us back again. You remember last summer we came and spoke about the Lighthouse program in general, about how it's what our purpose is. We say awareness, prevention, intervention, and education is the piece that I like. You know, just and the Lighthouse is made possible by a number of volunteers. Heather Moreno serves on the Lighthouse board. Don Clickard is here tonight, and Janet Stecker. It's all possible by volunteers and volunteer donations. The main purpose is to bring awareness to the public about drug use, both prescription and street drug, by everyone, community, adults, and youth, and to really raise that level of awareness and then look at ways that we can intervene to do that. So one of the things that Janet's come along with and is really helping us out is setting up sales pitches to local businesses for our coffee program. And I don't want to go into too much detail because I brought three, co-members, employees. They're almost like co-owners. They run the program. They're students from Del Rio High School. And I'm going to introduce, we have Bailey and Grace and Forrest, and they're here to talk about the different parts of Lighthouse Coffee, which we did not really talk about last time we were here. We talked about Lighthouse, but I want them to talk a little bit more about Lighthouse Coffee.
Hi, guys. My name is Bailey Torrey, and I started Del Rio my sophomore year, which would be last year. You guys hear me? And I wanted to talk about why we do Lighthouse, and it's because we are at an age where we're growing up and seeing our friends starting to use drugs, and abusing them and becoming addicted to them. And it's not fun for us to go downtown and see our friends like this skinny and not having a place to stay or know when they're going to get their next meal. And so that's really hard for us because we've seen our friends firsthand going through all this, and even some of us ourselves. But so in the last 3 years, drug overdoses have only increased in the youth in Atascadero, and that's a big problem for us. We don't like to see anyone dying because we care about those people and their families and how they're going to be affected. So yeah, that's a reason why we started this program. And we have a lot of fun with it, so that's also good. And we get some job experience, and so, yeah. So next is Grace. She's going to talk about something else.
Thank you. Nope. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Grace. So I'm also part of Lighthouse Coffee. And so we work with Joe Bella Coffee Roasters. They're located here in town on El Camino near Kailana Sushi. And so we work with them. They make the coffee and the blends that we have, which is a dark roast, which is a double dark, and a medium, which is a Peruvian blend. It's very organic coffee. It's fair trade and specialty coffee. The owners, Joseph and Isabella of Joe Bella, they take pride in the coffee that they make and the places that they go to get the coffee. So, yeah, that's we work with them. Thank you.
Very good. Welcome.
Hi, my name's Forrest, and I'm here to talk to you about what we do in the Lighthouse class at Del Rio Continuation School. And it's really cool because we get to learn a lot about running the business. And what's also cool is, like Bela said, we do almost all of it. We get to make a lot of decisions, and I think that's good because we get to learn what works and what doesn't work in a business. And also, we recently set up a coffee stand in front of our school. Hopefully, we're planning to turn our counseling room maybe into a coffee shop, so in the morning, if people want to come and buy coffee and maybe chill in the front, they can. And we practice our public speaking skills, like here today. And we travel to local businesses making sales pitches, seeing if maybe we could sell coffee in front of their businesses and such. And we would like all local businesses to eventually buy some of our Lighthouse coffee or let us set up. And yeah. Thank you for letting me speak.
Like Forrest said, our goal is to get Lighthouse Coffee, you know, as many businesses as possible. All the profits from Lighthouse Coffee go right back into supporting a counseling program that costs almost $40,000 a year to run, and these are not state-supported programs. So really the work that they're doing, my goal is that I want them to sell coffee, but I want them to build their resume, and I want them to feel connected and to have a relevant participation in their community. So thanks for letting us talk tonight. Appreciate being here.
Thank you. And we do appreciate you coming out tonight. And we love Joe Bella Coffee, and Lighthouse does a great job of getting it around to businesses. I know I may be supporting the school myself. Most folks up here drink plenty of coffee, so you got a good audience here. Do you have someone else to share tonight? Welcome.
I just wanted to add one more thing. The salesman in me is coming out. I challenge all of the council members to buy our coffee regularly. And city staff, it's my idea that or my thought that perhaps all city offices could buy the coffee for their pot that they have in their break room. And you'd be a great resource to pass this along to your friends. We'd be happy to give you a fact sheet that you could send to your social media list, to your social email list. So buy that coffee, please.
Thank you. Well, very good. And we do want to acknowledge Chief Haley. I know you and your police department have been very active with this program and appreciate your effort there. Thank you all for coming out tonight. Very good job of public speaking. There'll be some openings up here very soon, too, so keep that in mind. Well, we'll move on next to the consent calendar, which are items considered to be relatively uncontroversial and may not need a lot of discussion, and we'll pass them in a whole unless any council member wishes to pull an item or a member of the public pull an item for further discussion. So any member of the council wishing to pull a consent calendar item? Any member of the public wishing to pull a consent calendar item? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. The first item I have before you is the Friends of the Lake have drilled a supplemental well. The Friends of the Lake group launched their first major capital project with the drilling of a well on Thursday. The well did produce water. We're excited about it, and they're excited about it. And it's located on a property on Portola just up from the lake. The intent for the well project will to be eventually supplement the water in the lake during the dry months to help keep the water level higher than it would be otherwise. So this will be able to supplement that, try and help offset some of the evaporation that we see each year. The Friends group is currently fundraising in order to privately pay for this well project, and we wish them luck.
And we thank them.
And we thank them tremendously. Thank you. I think Nancy's here tonight, so thank you. We also have a lake fill line update. As I talked about last week, we were in the process of repairing a major break in the lake fill line. We did get that repair completed. However, we found more cracks in this 65-plus-year-old pipeline. What we're doing right now is we were able to go ahead and open up the valve, get the water flowing through it. We have a pump that we installed at the bottom of the dam so that the pipe will not be under quite as much pressure. That's pumping the water up and over and into the into the lake. So it is running. It is wide open. But what we're going to have to do is when it dries up and the creek dries up is we will have to videotape. We're planning on videotaping the whole pipeline. So that's about a mile and a half to figure out where there's cracks, how to fix them, and come up with a repair plan for that. As part of the project, we did find a 16-foot longitudinal crack. That crack is in there right now, but we're able to get water flow. So right now, the big priority is to keep that water flowing. And there is water in the lake, so that is good news. It's very exciting to see the water level increase, and many of our local citizen reporters have been taking pictures and posting them on various Facebook pages as water continues to rise at the lake. Several of those folks have agreed to let us share the pictures here, and so seeing as it's been a while since we saw water, wanted to make sure we all enjoyed those. At strategic planning, we went through the accomplishments for 2014, and you guys had asked that we get that out and about. And so we've developed a short YouTube video, which was created from some of the PowerPoint slides. And the video highlights just some of the city's completed projects and accomplishments. We posted the video, and it's available to the public on the city's website, on our Facebook page, and on YouTube. And our baby arasaris are famous. Our curl-crested arasari chicks are famous. The two little baby arasaris were listed in the American Zoo and Aquarium's February issue of the Connect magazine in the Births and Hatchlings article. These chicks have been hand-raised since their birth at the zoo last August, and I think when I announced the birth of these chicks, because they're very important, I said they were the ugliest birds I'd ever seen. They now look a little bit cuter. They looked a little bit like aliens back then. Now they're starting to look like arasaris, which are actually beautiful. So we're very excited. The AZA is very excited to have these new birds in the collection. The Chamber of Commerce Connect Lunch. The sold-out Chamber of Commerce networking lunch event was held today at Galaxy Theaters. Several experts discussed how to better manage online engagement with your customers through Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and other online tools. And to keep posted on all of the upcoming businesses and network opportunities the Chamber has to offer, be sure to visit the Chamber website at atascaderochamber.org. And I know Heather attended this, and I didn't know if you wanted to add anything.
Sure, I want to thank the Chamber for putting it together. It came out of, partly you'll remember, the big business walk that was done back in September. And then after that, the workshop with Pierre Rademacher and talking about signage and sort of your business image, especially in brick and mortar. And then to be doing this because, you know, online for so many of us, we might have a Facebook page or a LinkedIn profile and we accept some connections, but we really don't know what to do with it. And so these were some professionals that were really educating on what needs to be done and giving the resources for our local businesses so that they can help manage reviews, how to highlight the best reviews, how to get people into their businesses. And so I want to thank the Chamber and thank Galaxy for co-hosting that. I think it was very well attended, and they'll be doing future follow-up.
Thank you, Councilmember Moreno. As Councilmember Moreno said, this is a follow-up for the business walk. They continue to have programs like this, really want to reach out to those businesses and get involved. A lot of very valuable information that directly ties to what they found out during that business walk. We're going to have a Pizza Hut grand opening on March 6th. It'll be held on Friday, March 6th at 11 a.m. with the ribbon cutting at approximately noon. And the Pizza Hut is located in the Vaughn Shopping Center near Starbucks. So join us there. And last but not least, do not forget our Dancing with Our Stars. Now is the time to vote. It's going to be held next month at the Pavilion on the Lake, and you can see the names of some of your dancers there. It's a great opportunity to fundraise for our library. It's a great event, and we look forward to having our Dancing with the Stars. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Very good. Thank you. Next, we have Community Forum, which is an opportunity for any of you to talk to all of us about anything that is not on the agenda, and we will give you that time now. Please come forward and state your name. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Pastor Tom Farrell from Atascadero Bible Church, representing the Ministerial Association, and I'd just like to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again just for the opportunity that we have to live in this country, to be able to freely express ourselves, even in a public forum like this. Lord, even to have that opportunity to be able to pray, ask you for the direction and wisdom that we need as a city, as a community, and Lord, as we try to pray continually, just even for the safety of the members of our community, as well as those who serve our community to protect us and really allow for us to enjoy the quality of life that we do here. We also recognize that there are places in the world right now where people don't enjoy freedom. Even the great tragedies are taking place, even around the world, and in terms of with ISIS and the martyrdom that's taking place even now. Christians and Jews that are being killed, and even Muslims, Lord. We would just come on behalf of those and just really ask, Father, for protection for each and every one of those people groups that are so adversely affected even now, and wisdom for our own officials, government, as to how we can respond, perhaps to even help interceding on behalf of those people and as the world as well. So we're grateful that we can ask of you and that you hear us. So we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi. Good evening. I'm Nancy Hare, resident of Atascadero, City Council, Rochelle. Anyway, I'm here just to thank the City of Atascadero for supporting the efforts that Friends of Atascadero Lake have been working on to get water into Atascadero Lake. I mean, this is really, really exciting. And without your support, your financial support, water would not be flowing into Atascadero Lake right now. And I have to tell you, it's very exciting around the lake. I walk around the lake, you know, I overhear what people are saying, and there is not one person that is not excited about the water coming back into Atascadero Lake. Not only is it wonderful to see the waterfowl coming back into the lake, that's a really fun thing, but just to listen to them is fun too. All the quacking of the ducks and the coots and, you know, the migratory birds. I mean, it really is springing back. It's happening so fast. I can't even believe it. I especially want to thank Rochelle. I know that she lit a fire under some of the, you know, workers and public works here in Atascadero, and she got it done. I believe she was spearheading the whole project, and I know she had the support also from the city council, or else it wouldn't have gotten done, but I want to thank her too. So thank you so much for helping to bring back Atascadero Lake. We have a long way to go, but you know what? We're going to get there. So thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Barbara Combs, 9005 Lakeview Drive, and I just agree with everything Nancy said. I had a guest come today, and as she came to the front door, I go, can you believe all the water in Atascadero Lake? She goes, you know, I've trained myself not to look at the lake. She goes, I didn't even notice. I go, turn around. She goes, oh, I can look now. So anyway, a lot of people have just avoided the lake, and I've noticed the last 3 days such an increase in walkers because of there's so much community and great associations with the lake park, and I know that it will increase tourism. It'll bring the pavilion back into full swing and a waiting list to have the water for the pitchers, and it's just fantastic. And the well, being there when the well was uncapped, was one of the most exciting experiences of my life as an Atascadero resident. I, you know, dreamed about that moment to have supplemental water because I knew it's so important to keep, you know, fresh water coming in. And to have that as a backup to this, you know, the runoff from the pipeway, it's just, it's phenomenal. So I think we all agree that when the pipeway's not working, the lake can just dry up. So we're not going to ever let that happen again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Hello, my name is Francisco. I'm a Cal Poly student intern working with the Central Coast Clean Cities Coalition, and it's a nonprofit organization that promotes alternative fuel vehicles, and our organization would like to invite all public and private fleet operators, as well as fleet managers and interested individuals, to attend a free one-day workshop with information about the benefits of compressed natural gas, otherwise known as CNG, vehicles. The event will help develop a better understanding of CNG vehicle technology available today, as well as provide information on how much money you could save by switching to natural gas. The purpose of this event is to improve the environment by promoting cleaner fuels, and the free CNG vehicle workshop will be held at the following location. It's 1900 Golden Hill Road in Paso Robles, California. The event will go from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Complimentary lunch will be provided. I encourage those who are interested in attending to register as soon as possible because space is limited. Anyone can register through our website at www.c-5.org. And also, I'd like to mention immediately following the workshop, there will be a hosting of vehicles, CNG vehicles by 3G CNG, a couple blocks away from the workshop at 3529 Combine Street. I left some flyers in the back for anyone who's interested. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Any other member of the public wishing to speak on anything that's not on our agenda tonight? Seeing no one come forward, we'll close the community forum portion, and we'll begin the business portion of our meeting where we take on some projects. First item will be a public hearing, and it will be amendments and additions to the fee schedule. And we will first ask for ex parte communications on this topic that anyone may have had regarding fees, signage, or concealed weapon issues? None from the council, so let's ask staff to proceed with this item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. The item you have before you tonight is the amendment to the fee schedule for a couple of particular fees. If you'll recall, we've kind of been talking about it tonight a lot, of the kind of a revamping of the signage in Atascadero. So back in 2014 at the strategic planning, the council indicated that they were interested in looking at the appearance of the commercial district. And then at the February 11th, 2014 council meeting, the council agreed that the appearance of the commercial district needed improvements, and there was some concern about the temporary and unpermitted signs. The council tasked staff with developing a program to improve the appearance of the commercial signage based on the following principles: starting with education and voluntary compliance, developing a partnership with the Chamber of Commerce, and maintaining a business-friendly approach with a good-for-business message. As part of the education and outreach program, staff worked with the chamber and met with local sign companies to discuss permitting issues, participated in the business walk, held a business appearance workshop, adopted a sign cleanup strategy, and participated in business outreach. The next steps will be notice for non-compliant businesses, sign symposium, compliance with the assistance program, and enforcement. Tonight we are just discussing, as part of the cleanup strategy, fees on the sign commercial signage. Council had directed staff to come back with a reduction for fees for commercial sign permits to a flat $50, and for the sign administrative use permits for $100. These fees would be temporarily reduced for a period of 18 months, beginning on March 1st, 2015. And then in a separate, unrelated topic for fees as well, are for your consideration tonight are concealed carry weapon licensing fees. So essentially, the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office had an agreement with the Atascadero Police Department to process all of the concealed carry weapon permits for the city on its behalf. And that agreement was terminated effective February 15th, 2015, just this month, earlier this month. So now the Atascadero Police Department is tasked with processing all of these requests. State law does allow for us to be able to recoup some of those fees up to a maximum amount, and so staff is recommending some base fees be put in place to begin the process of processing these license applications. And these would be $100 for a new license application, $25 for a renewal, and $10 for any changes that might be on a current license. Next month, actually, Chief Haley will come back to the council with more of a description on the process and the legal requirements of this licensing. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions from council members. Seeing the lights here, Councilwoman Fonzie.
Thank you for the report, Jerry. I was wondering, what are the sign permits currently?
It's about $400, I think, $400 or $450 for a regular commercial sign permit, and about $880 for a sign at AUP.
That is a huge amount of reduction.
Yes, it is.
And a question perhaps for Chief Haley. Do you know what the CCW costs at the county? Are we competitive at $100, or do you know?
Yeah, the costs are actually fixed by statute, and so the fee is prescribed by law at $100. We're not above, we're not below, we're the exact same because it is a prescribed fee. So $100 fee, also the $10 fee for changes to the license or the $25 renewal fee, those are all fixed and set by statute. There are other fees in addition to those that are charged by the state. We're the processing entity for that, but we do not actually collect the fees as a city And those are all fixed as well. So the fees throughout the county will be the same for each entity processing CCW permits.
Thank you.
Other council questions? Seeing none, I will open it up to the public if anyone would like to speak on this item. Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council for deliberation or a motion.
Make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And good, brief, concise staff report. Thank you both. Moving on to management reports. Number one is the authorized preliminary engineering for the Santa Lucia Road Bridge over Graves Creek and the Via Avenue Bridge over Atascadero Creek. Now, these are some things we've been working on for some time and now have some funding. However, this will not be our road funding that was recently approved by the voters. This is something we've been working on for infrastructure, so that I'm sure will be clarified. And who is giving the staff report this evening?
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley. The city does have 19 bridges under its jurisdiction. It's kind of hard to believe, but we do have that many. Caltrans, every several years, inspects the bridges on our behalf. The last time they did this was in 2013. And underneath that inspection program, they identified two of the bridges that needed, designated as, structurally. They give it a sufficiency rating, sorry. And the sufficiency rating indicates like what kind of condition the bridge is in. And with that, they also flag any bridges that are designated as structurally deficient or functionally obsolete. Structurally deficient means that it's not capable of handling the loading that it was originally designed for. And functionally obsolete flags indicate that the bridge is no longer meet current modern roadway and bridge design standards. In March 2014, with the assistance of Quincy Engineering, the city did apply for a federal grant called Local Highway Bridge Replacement and Rehabilitation Program. This is federal funding that assists local agencies with replacing and rehabilitating bridges. We applied for the Santa Lucia Bridge and as well as Via Avenue Bridge. We did find out we were preliminary approved for those grant opportunities. And then also SLOCOG, part of the requirement was we needed to have those bridges as part of the state transportation improvement program. So SLOCOG made a request to Caltrans to add that, which they accepted. So we have a pretty rare opportunity right now to have two of our worst bridges in town rebuilt to modern standards to last for the next 75 to 100 years at very little cost to the city. The Santa Lucia Bridge was built in 1926 with an overall length of 45 feet. The projected cost for that to replace it would be $1.56 million. The bridge would be widened with some shoulders and go from a width that it's currently at to approximately 10 feet wider. The Via Avenue Bridge is about 77 feet long. That one actually is built in 1948 and would be widened a little bit more. So that one would be added not with just shoulders, but with actually additional, lane width, 8 feet on both sides, just to accommodate pedestrian traffic and bicycle traffic. Santa Lucia Bridge would also be added to accommodate pedestrian and bicycle traffic, but not that wide as Via Avenue Bridge. Via Avenue Bridge is a higher classification for roadway, and that one actually is considered on the highway, federal highway system. and as such, it's not covered by toll credits. The Santa Lucia Bridge, actually, there would be no cost to the city for any of the design or construction to replace that bridge. The V Avenue Bridge would be covered 88.53% by the grant program. The estimated cost to rehabilitate this bridge is roughly $2.2 million. Now, why the V Avenue Bridge to me it seems like it's in worse shape than the San Lucia. They're both bad to me, you know, from visual inspection. But with the sufficiency rating that they came up with, it needs to be under 50 to be considered a candidate for replacement. So the Via Avenue Bridge actually scored by Caltrans at 51.4. Now, keep in mind, this was in 2013. More recently, the Via Avenue Bridge, this past fall, there was a similar bridge to that design in Sonoma County that Caltrans came out and looked at it again, found that there was parts of the bridge components that were actually in compressive state of compression versus tension and vice versa, where, you know, they weren't expecting that to happen. So they actually downgraded the capacity of the bridge, as I think you're all aware of. And so since this application was submitted, we actually have that Via Avenue Bridge that's been downsized and what it can carry. So I think if we move forward with this, what'll happen is there'll be another field inspection by Caltrans before we get an engineer on board to help us with the preliminary engineering. At that point, they'll re-rate it again, and I believe that it'll probably be a candidate for replacement. So that's one thing that we don't really have control of right now until we actually get this application in, and we'll know more after that. But that could potentially change, you know, some of the cost and, you know, what we're required for, but it would still be only, we'd only be on the hook for 11.47% of the cost. So the next step, if the council chooses to move forward with this proposal, would be to submit the request for authorization to proceed with the preliminary engineering phase of the project. This would actually take us through plans and specs, environmental, all the permitting and other requirements to get the bridge ready for bidding. As I mentioned, the Santa Lucia Bridge, there would be no cost. The city would be invoiced. We'd cover that and then submit to Caltrans for reimbursement of those costs. The V Avenue Bridge is expected to be about $45,000. Now, the schedule for design would be about 3 years. So in the next 2 to 3 years, we'd be working on this. Right-of-way would be determined if we need to get any right-of-way. That's always a big what-if. And but you don't know that until we actually do some preliminary engineering and surveying. That would occur, the right-of-way, we'd know that in about 2 years. The actual schedule for both these bridges would be the same, and it would be a construction year of 2019. So as you can see, it's out about 4 years, so there's a lot of planning. Anytime you have federal funding involved in any kind of transportation project, it takes a long time to bring that project to fruition. So I guess in closing, we do have a pretty rare opportunity, a great opportunity to improve a couple of our bridges in town with very little cost. You know, basically we're having about almost $3 million provided to the city for a match of about $225,000, maybe $250,000. This cost could change a little bit, go up a little bit, if that Via Avenue Bridge is determined to be replaced. But we can provide regular updates once we do get those confirmation back from Caltrans. So with that, I can entertain any questions.
Well, thank you, Nick. A good presentation and some nice engineering detail behind the scenes there. Before we take questions, we do have another staff person that could be introduced. I don't know if you want to do that now or you're going to surprise us later.
I apologize, Mayor, and more importantly, I apologize, Bobby Lewis. We have Bobby Lewis joining us tonight. He is our interim community development director. So he is our interim warden, for lack of a better word. He comes to us with a lot of experience as planning directors, both in Nevada, with cities, with counties, in California, recently from the city of Riverside. He's also worked for developers, owned his own planning and engineering firm, and has a ton of experience. So we're very excited to have his experience here at the city of Atascadero. I'll let Bobby introduce himself.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, fellow council. Very glad to be here. What an exciting opportunity. A lot of growth and things happening here in the city, and glad to be a part of it, and thank you for having me.
Well, we're real glad you are here to help us out. Thank you. We'll now go back to any questions on this staff report, and I do have some lights signaling council members have some questions, so we'll begin with Councilwoman Moreno, followed by Councilman Kelly.
First of all, welcome to Bobby Lewis. Glad to have you here. Director, very good report. I'm wondering, the 2 to 3 years over which there's going to be the design setup, will there be any restrictions on use of those bridges due to their the quality, the level that at which each is?
That's a really good question, and the answer would be no. Currently, the V Avenue Bridge, we've already had to post that at, a 20-ton capacity per axle, or per vehicle, and so that wouldn't change at all. And the San Lucia Bridge, it is what it is, I guess.
It is, okay. You were saying the construction year of 2019, so how long do we expect, obviously if VIA gets completely replaced, it would be different, but how long do we anticipate that taking, and what happens? Obviously VIA, people will, you know, the trucks and passenger traffic will have to go around. Santa Lucia, I'm not familiar with Llano Bridge. I haven't used it myself. So is it not, how will residents be impacted, and what will happen at that time?
Sure. The V Avenue Bridge, I think, with access to both sides of the bridge being very, very available, will not a big concern. I would expect that one. And we can always change this as we approve the plans and they bring it forth. But I would expect that bridge just to be closed down during construction. Now, the Santa Lucia Bridge, that's a different story, as our city clerk knows, who lives in the neighborhood. There's not many ways to get over there, and without having to have a long detour. So we'll have to get creative as to how we do that. And, we might need some temporary construction easements from nearby landowners or property owners. Maybe there's an opportunity to where we can keep that existing bridge open, or that's what part of this process will kind of flush out, I guess, with how we go about the constructability of these bridges.
So do you have a thought on estimated time frame, how long each of those bridges might take?
Sure. So we'll try to have the plans. Right now, the current schedule is to have the plans and specifications completed sometime towards the end of 2018, mm-hmm. Put it out for bid early 2019, have it constructed during the summer of 2019, and back opened hopefully sometime later that year, and have final completion spring of 2020.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Sure.
And this is for our finance director. The 11.5%, right about there, that the city would be needing to put into VIA, from where will those funds come?
From the LTF, local transportation funds.
Okay. So these are funds that the city would be getting. It has nothing to do with the sales tax and the roads. This is completely
Correct.
Separate
it's
and something we would get
separate.
Anyway and be
yes.
using for this anyway.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Kelly, followed by Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yeah, my questions will be regarding the money part of it. I understand that Santa Lucia is pretty much covered by grants, and I think you came up and said the estimated cost for the VIA Bridge would be somewhere around $2 million, 88% of it covered, which leaves 12. And so we're out of pocket here at the city for about $240,000 by today's numbers. And all this engineering and everything that we have to do, I think you came up with another number of $45,000 to do that. Is that money that the city's going to have to pay to start this engineering? And if so, maybe you could tell me where that monies would come from also.
Sure. Thank you, Councilmember Kelly. Both bridges are estimated in the application. There was an estimate of about $375,000 for preliminary engineering work on both bridges, so it'd be double that. Obviously, the San Lucia Bridge would be covered. The V Avenue Bridge, you take 11.47% of that, and it's around $45,000. And that amount would be covered by local transportation funding.
And so it would be the 11% of the 375 or what have you?
Correct.
Okay, great. I understand that. This, when we get to the construction stage and we're talking the $240,000, and you mentioned the account where that money would come out of, just out of curiosity, how much money do we have in that account right now? I mean, is it a viable account that has enough money to do these projects?
Yes, there would be sufficient money in that account for that purpose.
What do we normally use that money for throughout the year here in the city?
Different types of projects, including some roads, some other bridge maintenance type things. Mm-hmm. And
is that a restricted type fund?
It is. There are funds that have to be used for streets, roads, bridges, bike paths, those types of things.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Sturdivant.
Yes, good report. And a couple questions. Is rehabilitation always less expensive than replacement?
Not necessarily. In this case, I think, it's really hard to say, honestly. I mean, my background is actually structural engineering. Once upon a time, I haven't practiced it for about 15 years, but it's not always the cheapest, and typically replacing a bridge would be more expensive. And because you need to tear out the piers, the embankments, you need to do a lot of that work. In this particular case, I think they'd still need to kind of retrofit around that, but they wouldn't be tearing it all out. And but typically rehab is a cheaper alternative, but as far as the life cycle cost, you're not going to get 75 to 100 years out of a rehabilitation necessarily. It might last 50. Mm-hmm. So over the course of that, what you're spending, if you spend 25% more to replace a bridge, you might get twice the life out of it.
Okay, and you were saying the time frame was, did you say you're going out for, when do bids, you go out for bids for the, so this engineering figures out the scope of the work. Overall, from there, you said you go to bids. What time frame is that?
Sure. So the preliminary engineering would start with the environmental, and then we'd start doing some of the requirement, other federal documents, state documents we need to do. In about 2 years, we'd know the right-of-way impacts that we would be encountering. We might have to negotiate some of that with landowners nearby, but ultimately, we'd have towards the end of 2018 is when the plans would be wrapped up and go out for bid the following spring in early 2019. Obviously, this will have to come back to the city council prior to that time to accept plans and some of these other intermediate approvals that we have on these projects. Okay. So you'll be fully informed throughout the whole process.
Thank you.
I might just add, too, that the San Lucia Bridge, there's some deficiencies right now in it with safety and other things. If anybody's living out there and is watching, we are going to be doing some improvements coming up here this spring with the decking and doing some railing work on it as well. It's not that much money that we have to put into it, but it is going to be something that we need to do just for a safety standpoint to get it through another 4 to 5 years.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Nick, I want to tag on to your comments about safety, particularly for the Santa Lucia Bridge, that the sufficiency rating isn't necessarily a safety rating. So what I'm trying to get at is the residents need to be reassured that this is still safe to cross.
Thank you for that, Councilmember Fonsi. It is a safe bridge. It's not going to fall down. Santa Lucia Bridge, like Via Avenue Bridge, they're both functionally obsolete. So what this means is that back in the day when it was built, that was like the current safety standards and everything else. That's how they built bridges. It's much like roadways and other things. With, in particular, the Santa Lucia Bridge, the functionally obsolete piece of it comes with the type of railings they are, and then the guardrail end treatments on both sides of the bridge. So today's standards are, you know, it's like seatbelts. You think about seatbelts, you know, growing up, you know, you just had the lap belt. Now you got the, you know, the shoulder straps, and you got airbags and everything else. Is a car that just has a lap belt considered unsafe? Well, not necessarily. It's, but you know, it is proven that shoulder straps and airbags and everything else are safer if you're in a collision. So it's kind of, if you compare it to that, I guess, you know, it is a safe bridge, but it's just not to current standards for a bridge. And they're usually able to continue to be in existence as long as, you know, they structurally they'll support the vehicles passing over them.
And I know that there's a grant for the Santa Lucia Bridge, but this is the one I'm actually more concerned about because I know the neighbors have been complaining about this for a long time. And also there is a quarry around the corner that may or may not be operating in the future, and I'm wondering, because the federal government is giving the money, will they realize that it needs to support possibly gravel trucks?
They will, yes. The bridge will be designed. It'll be required to be designed to a standard of the traffic that it's going to be subjected to. So every bridge is going to be subjected to, you could pretty much expect a semi-truck, loaded semi-truck to go over it. Say somebody moves in or there's delivery or of some sort, or, you know, you're always going to have construction traffic going over just about any bridge anywhere.
And I know this is mainly a residential area, and there may be some issues with that right-of-way, as you mentioned, that the bridge is proposed to be widened considerably. And I'm wondering if getting that right-of-way is going to be a problem because people don't want the traffic to speed up as they go across the bridge.
I can't answer that, and I hope we can, you know, work with and negotiate with some of the residents along there. Hopefully we don't have to get any right-of-way, temporary or permanent, for that bridge, but that's what the preliminary engineering will let us know.
One last question about the reinspection for the Via Bridge. That you mentioned that they may come back, the standards have changed. Will that change it so that they may pay for it all, or really is just changing it from a rehab to a replace?
The latter. Just they would not cover 100% of it. The city would still be on the hook for 11.47% of eligible cost.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Any other council questions? Seeing none, we'll open it up to the public. Any questions or thoughts to share on this topic? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council. And I would say again, thank you for the staff report. And I think it also reminds us how complicated bridges are and the funding of bridges. There are many categories of funding, and these are projects that are planned over 20 years. And when we have discussions, and as a former chairperson of the San Luis Council of Governments that works with Caltrans on these kinds of projects, it's easy to understand how people get confused and don't understand the process and the funding cycles. Most of these costs are covered by combinations of federal, state, and other sources of funding. Much like our Lewis Avenue Bridge, $8 million was completely paid for, not city funds. Just like our 41-101 overpass, $30 million, not paid for with city funds. Be the same with Del Rio. It'll be, looks like we're in very good shape with Santa Lucia, and there's different ratios. But I do think staff has done a very good job of pursuing all funding sources, and that's why we've gotten a greenest parking lot in the world at our lake at no cost to our community. So thank you, staff, for your efforts on that. We can go to any deliberation or a motion from council.
I'm happy to move forward with the motion if there are no objections. I will move staff's recommendation, and also thank you, staff, for such great work on this.
Second.
So we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Moreno and seconded by Councilwoman Fonzi. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzi?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the resolution relating to the formation of the Citizens Oversight Committee for the implementation of the Transaction and Use Tax Ordinance. And I do see we have Corey Black in the audience. I do want to take this time to thank you for, on behalf of working with the Chamber and as just a private citizen, donating your time, really helping with this process and communicating with the public on the nuances of this other complicated funding cycle. But it turned out to be very good for our community. So we do want to recognize Corey Black for his help in our community. With that, I'll turn it over to staff for a report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. The item you have before you is the resolution relating to the formation of the Citizens Oversight Committee for the implementation of the Transaction and Use Tax Ordinance, which is a long way of saying we're looking at the Oversight Committee for the Roads Measure. As you know, the Atascadero voters approved a general 1/2 cent sales tax measure last November, and that sales tax will be going into effect on April 1st, 2015. So all of the merchants here in Atascadero will start charging the extra 1/2 cent starting on April 1st, 2015. The city will then receive its first payment from the state. The merchants pay the state. The state eventually pays us at the end of June of 2015. When the voters did approve that advisory measure, when the voters did approve that general sales tax measure, they also approved an advisory measure which asked if the proceeds should go towards roads, and it was an overwhelming yes that the voters would like to see the proceeds from these funds go towards roads. When we were forming this and when we were deciding whether or not to place this measure on the ballot, council asked staff to gather as much public input as we can. Staff went out and talked with Kiwanis and Rotary and the Chamber and anybody that would stop and listen on the street, basically, tried to hit up. We went and talked to the Tea Party, the Republican Women's, anybody that would have us. And we were telling them about the measure and what council was considering and gathering input for what people would like to see in the measure. And one of the overwhelming items that we heard is that they thought that oversight was critically important and that they wanted to see an oversight committee as part of the measure. They also said that they wanted that oversight committee to be as independent as possible and not be a council-appointed committee. So we added language to the ordinance and the ballot measure that put that oversight committee in there and established the makeup of the oversight committee. So if you bear with me for just a minute, I want to read what the ordinance itself says. It says, there shall be a permanent citizens advisory committee called the Citizen Oversight Committee, which shall annually review revenues and expenditures from the collection of the tax. The committee shall have 9 members. 7 members shall be appointed to the committee by individual Atascadero community groups. 2 members shall be appointed by the city council. An appointee shall be residents of the city. However, no member of the committee shall be an elected official. So this lays the groundwork for how the committee will be formed and who's going to be on the committee, along with the purpose of the committee. The committee will have 2 council-appointed members and 7 members appointed by individual community groups, and council's going to set the rules and guidelines for selecting how we do this. What staff did is we came up with a resolution, and the resolution before you tonight says that the city manager coordinated group or coordinated meeting for all of the interested community groups. So we'll put out the word far and wide. Any community groups that are interested in this should come to this meeting And at that meeting, we're asking the community groups themselves to come up for a process for making the appointments to the committee. So basically, the member of the community groups who show up that night get to decide how the community groups are going to be picked for who gets to put on the committee. That would be as independent as we can get. It removes council and staff from the process. We're just coordinating. For the council appointments, we're going to do this very similar to what we do for the at-large positions for our Parks and Rec Commissioner and our Planning Commissioner. We're asking the resolution direct staff to go ahead and advertise for the at-large positions. Marsha will go ahead and do that. We'll go ahead and then set up council interviews, and you'll select two members from them. Once the committee is formed, it's going to adopt some bylaws. The bylaws will set the terms. Brian has already drafted up some bylaws for them, very similar to, again, different committees and others that we have. And the powers of the committee, like I said, are set by the ordinance. Their committee will review revenues and expenditures from collection of the tax, and the committee will review the annual road report, where we spent the money. Those are their official duties. We also, staff foresees that we're going to educate them on our pavement management system, educate them on how roads work, educate them on the different types of road repairs, so that they have a true understanding of how our road system works and why the roads that are selected are selected, and have some buy-in to that. That being said, the actual road budget themselves will be approved by the City Council as part of the regular budget process. But as you know, that's all generated through our pavement management system, and we'll have a presentation on that at our next meeting, going through our current pavement condition index, going through the management system, talking about how to best make our dollars work for this program. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Any council questions? I don't think we have any. And again, I'm glad we're going to hear that report again, I no doubt from our city engineer, because I have been very impressed anytime I have heard the report of how staff, with input from emergency services, prioritize every road in our community based on utility and cost-benefit analysis of replacement. And it's very well thought through. We just haven't had enough money to address roads in our community for ever since we became a city. And so I think this will give us an opportunity and also help the public understand more what goes on with roads. So thank you. We look forward to that. With no council questions, I'll open up to the public. Anyone in the public wishing to speak on this or add any comments? Oh, Mr. Seabox.
Mr. Mayor, would you allow me to make a couple comments on this item?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would just say that this is a very good idea to have this as a part of the process in this city. Maintaining the public's trust in the government and the use of these funds that they voted for is very important, and it's, while it's not required by law, it's now required in this city under the ordinance, as I understand it. The schools, for a number of years, when they lowered the voting requirement for school bonds from 66 2/3% down to, I think, 55%, state law created a requirement to have an oversight committee for the school bond uses. So it's not like you're reinventing the wheel, you're just making use of a good idea. And I encourage some good people to apply to serve on this committee, because it has a very useful function.
Thank you. And, you know, that gives me an idea. If Mr. Seabach, with your experience, I think it might be helpful if you wrote much of what you said tonight, almost like a little introductory letter to the public that could go with our package as we're communicating, because I think it is a good idea, and I think you can encourage folks from the public that, you know, this is an important role.
Well, so. I'll talk to Rochelle and Jerry about that, and the Public Works Director, if you'd like.
Yeah.
I was glad to see you can't be an elected official and be on the committee, though.
I was very disappointed, because I was hoping you would be on it.
No.
So That is one downside.
I'm just too busy with my city treasurer duties. It's just constant.
Well, we expect you to earn that $50 a month, so thank you. Any member of the public wishing to speak on this item? Seeing no one rush to the lectern, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council for deliberation or a decision.
I move staff's recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilwoman Fonzi, seconded by Councilman Sturtevant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzi?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturtevant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We'll next go on to council announcements and reports and committee reports. And then we still have to adjourn and then go on to our successor agency meeting. A little confusing. It's a separate meeting that will occur right after this meeting. So just stay tuned. But thank you for who has been here so far. So let's do try to separate a little bit all, because we have enough time to kind of take two passes of all council members. Any announcements or reports you'd like to give first of any of your activities, then we'll kind of do a second pass back on the committee reports. So I'll just go from my left to my right. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to bring up the Charles Paddock Brown Statue Project that we have going. Mark Greenway, who's the artist who is doing the sculpture. The clay part of the sculpture, I believe, is almost complete, and it's very, very realistic. We have some photos of that, and hopefully at the next city council meeting or something, I can put it on the webpage or what have you. It's getting very exciting, life-size, and we're looking for July the 4th to have the statue done and the unveiling at the July 4th events at the Lake Park. There's a web page that you can go to, the Charles Paddock statue, and of course we're always looking for donations, and if anybody would like to help us out, we sure would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Moreno.
Sure. We have our annual, I think it's the 33rd or 34th, forgive me for not remembering, ladies conference coming up March 6th and 7th at the Colony Park Community Center. I'm honored to be MC this year, so really looking forward to that. And if anyone wants information, you can go to ladiesconference.com. And Dancing with Our Stars, as you know, is coming up the 20th and 21st, and I'm kind of peripherally involved, and it's a lot of fun. I think tickets are sold out. Sometimes there's one here or there, so you could certainly check with any of the Friends of the Library volunteers and see if there's anything available, but promises to be a lot of fun.
Thank you. And regarding the ladies' conference, we do bring in about 400 to 500 ladies from all over the county on this event. Marlene Lutz, who we all know here in town, has, I think, worked with this program for well over 40 years. Good news, Chief. I understand often we have some volunteers from the city help out at this event, and the city manager tells me strategic planning for staff will be done well early that day, so there may actually be opportunities that evening for assisting. Not that there's any pressure, but just for your consideration.
I will check with my wife.
That is, yeah, it's city manager is one thing, but now you're really talking to the boss. Thank you. And we'll hear more about it, but we also are going to, there's going to be a fundraising event for RISE, which used to be North County Women's Resource Center, and they work with battered and domestic violence situations, and there'll be an opportunity for many moms and families to attend a picnic and Mother's Day, and also it'll serve as a fundraiser for them. So, well, as usual, many things going on in the community support. Any other council announcements?
I know most of you were there for the chamber mixer at the library.
Oh, yes.
And they were showcasing Dancing with the Stars, which is coming up. It promises to be a very worthwhile activity and a good fundraiser for our library that we're all so proud of and are happy to have built.
Yep. I have no announcements or reports.
there's been a lot of things you've been calling me about, reminding me to attend, and we've got quite a few
events.
That's you true. Can share one or two.
Okay, well, we actually, that's right, my daughter's, the show choir, Tascadero High Show Choir, is going to be going to New York, and so they've been raising funds.
Yeah.
So they have had many different ways of doing that. Galaxy Theater was one night. We had a show at a New York, it was Broadway and Friends with Emmy Brusso and the kids mm-hmm. on Friday and Saturday night last week. So it was very well received. And if anyone feels led to, the Tascadero High Show Choir does need financial support for this trip. So if you feel so led, you can contact Emmy Brusso, contact the high school, and I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Very talented kids in our community, and it's great to have that kind of support from our community to support them. Let's take another pass. We'll just go through committee reports, and again, I'll just have you no report. I think I can defer our reports till next time. Take it away.
LAFCO once again met a week ago on Thursday, and we're talking there about groundwater sustainability agencies. Again, this will be affecting the city of Atascadero. Although we don't provide water ourselves, the Mutual Water Company would like to be Atascadero's groundwater sustainability agency rather than lumping Atascadero into the Paso Robles larger groundwater agency. So I will keep you posted on that one. There was much discussion on who should have what jurisdiction at the LAFCO meeting. Not decided at this point in time, but we need to keep our eye on that one.
Thank you. And as you know, we did ask, in addition to chairing LAFCO, which is a pretty big responsibility in itself, as a council, we've asked Councilwoman Fonzie to be our official liaison with water issues, because it's just a very important area right now, moving very fast. We've had a lot of discussion. I think Councilwoman Fonzie can well represent us in that area. And anytime you have something to share, please do. No report. So, and I think we'll go to staff. Any individual determinations or actions? So we will adjourn our city council meeting. But don't run out yet. We will call to order the successor agency to the Community Redevelopment Agency of Atascadero for redevelopment and housing purposes. And we will begin with a roll call.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Here.
Councilmember Kelly.
Here.
Councilmember Moreno.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Sturdivant.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is okay. Old list. I'm sorry.
Here.
I'm out of touch.
We knew what you meant.
Yeah. I'm back in time. I'm sorry. So, well, you're all here.
We're very informal on this meeting. I would, though, ask our city manager to, would you just give, for the record, a little brief overview of just what this committee is and why is it separate from the council, and then we'll go ahead with our staff.
Yes, this is a successor agency to the redevelopment agency. As you remember, the city of Atascadero adopted its first project area for the redevelopment agency in 1999, and the redevelopment agency itself was a separate body from the city council. Here in the city of Atascadero, the redevelopment agency board was the same as the city council by the way it was set up. And so that's not always the same in every city, but here the city council and the redevelopment board were the same five people acting in different capacities and at different times. When the state dissolved redevelopment, the city had to choose, or the redevelopment agency, I'm not even sure, city or redevelopment agency, had to choose a successor agency to that redevelopment agency, a body that would handle the affairs of the redevelopment agency as it wound down and as it ceased to exist. That is what this you're doing when you're sitting as the successor agency, is you're winding down the affairs of the former redevelopment agency. There's a lot of agencies in there, sorry. Is there anything else I can add or you'd like me to hit, Mayor?
I think that covers it. If no comment by council, we'll go ahead with our consent calendar. Whoops, I need to have a approval of our agenda first.
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Now we can go to our consent calendar. Any member of the council or public wishing to pull such an item? Seeing none, we can entertain a motion for all.
Move approval. Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Moreno, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Actually, this can be a voice vote if you'd like.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Now we'll open up to the community forum where you can speak to us on any topic not on the agenda, which is darn near anything. Seeing no public, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council. And we move on to our management report. I assume that would be Jerry Rangel.
Yes, thank you very much. Board member, chair member O'Malley, and board members. As city manager Rickard was indicating, this is the successor agency to wind down the redevelopment agency, and as a part of that, we do have what we call the required obligation payment schedule that is required for the board to approve, and then it goes to the oversight board, and then to ultimately to the Department of Finance in the state for approval for any expenses that we have. So this is similar to what you've done for the last how many years now we've been doing this. So it's a 6-month period. So the what we call the ROPS is short for the required obligation payment schedule. This is the next 6-month period that we're looking at from July 1st, 2015 to December 31st, 2015. It is called the ROPS 1516A because it's the first half of the fiscal year for that fiscal year period. Generally, there's two due per year. One is generally due on March 1st. This year, the Department of Finance has indicated that it will be due on March the 3rd, and there's generally another one due on October 1st. The amount of redevelopment property tax we are requesting this time is about $962,000. This is primarily for bond debt service, and there is an administrative allowance to allow for staff costs and that sort of thing included in there as well. If the board approves this ROPS, it will go to the oversight board, which board member Fonzie is the chairperson of on Thursday in 2 days from now. And if it is approved by the oversight board, it will then go to the county and to the State Department of Finance. And with that, I will answer any questions.
Yeah, my only question is just what boards is Councilman Fonzie not chair of? It'd be a shorter discussion. But any questions? Seeing none, we could open that up to the public. Seeing no public, we'll bring it back to council. And it looks like we could entertain a motion.
I move that the successor agency approve the, I can't say this, the draft staff reorganized obligation payment as stated in the staff report.
I'll second whatever that was.
Not too good, sorry.
Well, you'll have time to practice before your next meeting on that. So a motion by Councilman Fonzie, eloquently seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
I suggest we dispense with board announcements and reports. And if no objection, we will adjourn. Thank you. We made it. It's not even 7:30.